right now on VFN TV. We're going to talk about the American elections. America has voted, and we're going to talk about their decisions, the midterm election 2018, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and the elections has happened, John.
Yes, America has voted, and the results are in.
What a country.
Yes.
When you think about that, because if you study history, of course, nobody does that anymore.
No, what is that?
When you look at how the transition of power takes place,
yeah.
It's been brutal. It's been
bloody.
Deathly. It's been tragic. It's yeah. been, I mean, history just says that
people,
it's bad.
People typically die.
Yeah, they die. And so you're looking at what happened in America was the American people had a chance to listen to everybody that was talking.
Sure.
And then even other people that were talking for them.
Oh.
We don't want to talk about that. And make a decision
yeah.
on who they wanted to lead their schools, their counties, their cities, their states, our nation, our Congress, the who was to represent them. And it's pretty cool. I mean, even though sometimes you might not like how it turned out or you like how it turned out, it's a miracle. Every election in America that's peaceful like this, somebody says, this is rough. It's not as rough. It's a battlefield of ideas. So
yeah.
we need to be able to get our point across. You know, you got to be able to drive home the differences so people can see a contrast.
Yeah.
But in the end, when it's all said and done and the leaders are chosen and everybody calms back down again, and says, wow, what a process, right?
What a process. You walk away and say, it is what it is. Move forward.
Sometimes that's what you got to say.
Hey, sometimes you got to say
right,
that.
Right, right.
But I will say this. They keep talking about the voter turnout and how high it was. But I know in yeah. Florida, for instance, I believe the population is between 24, 26 million people.
Did you know this?
What?
England.
Yes.
The country of England.
Yes, tell me.
Can fit in the state of Florida.
Look.
They ran the whole world at one time.
I ran.
Right?
Yeah.
But think about it.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
It's just amazing when you talk about the contrast and also when you talk about what's happening in a state.
It's huge.
You know, maybe you might not know this, but in a state, it's so big. You know, you look at the comparisons of other states.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, you know, I know why Mitt Romney went back to Utah.
Because
all he needed was four votes to get to become a senator.
Yeah. Now it's his family.
Win a race.
By the way, 173 years before someone has won, was a governor in one state and was a senator of another one. 173 years ago. Fun fact.
Well, winning a race in California, winning a race in Florida, that's a big deal because you're looking at, you know, 10 million, 11 million votes. Versus Utah had like 300,000 votes, maybe?
Florida had this. My point was that Florida had 8 million votes. 24 million, 26 million people population. They said this was the biggest voter turnout, and yet only 8 million people voted in the state of Florida.
So Utah was 3 million, I think. I think
somewhere
around that. But that's like the contrast between that, which is great. That's what representative government's about. Every state gets their count, gets their two senators. And so what happened in Florida? What happened in Florida?
We needed greater voter turnout. What happened in Florida is that we actually have a new governor. Ron DeSantis actually beat Andrew Gillum, which was a very close race.
Very, very close. That was a huge contrast. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing right here, you know, you're seeing that race on your screen. But
47-98.
That is an amazing moment because it was a race between socialism.
Oh, yeah.
And capitalism.
You're right.
Well, just the socialism and capitalism, which where the state becomes more prominent in your life and takes control of things. And because, you know, Florida is like the number two out of the top number two out of all 50 states in regards to economy, and it's being blessed, and God's done really blessed us.
Rick Scott did
an excellent job. And so, but when you think about it, to be able to put in the programs that Gillum would have wanted is 40% tax increase, which there's no state income tax in the state of Florida, which means...
And that's a great thing. And that's a left-leaning agenda, very left.
But that means they would have had to put a state income tax and raise taxes by 40% just to be able to be in to even mess around with what he was talking about doing.
To fund all the programs he wanted to do.
But DeSantis, you know, and I'm glad DeSantis won. I mean, he has a huge, you know, resume, but he only won by 1%, means Florida is divided between, do we want to go socialist or do we want to go capitalist? And the thing about it is, John, everybody quit teaching what socialism is, what communism is, and socialism has never worked. Venezuela, we talk about Venezuela all the time.
Perfect example.
There's a lot of people who ran from Venezuela, who ran from Cuba, and both of them are crashing under socialism and communism. Yeah. And they're probably looking at Florida going, what are y'all doing?
By the way, they have more oil, they say, than anyone in the world.
Venezuela.
But
they're crashing
still not working out.
Because of socialism.
Absolutely.
Which means, you know, that the Lord really spoke to me about this. You know, when you think about somebody says, you know, I want to be a NFL football player, mm-hmm. right? And so their whole life, you know, they're focusing on this and, you know, connections happen and somebody gets you to the point where you get a tryout and then, you know, you work real hard, you go to training and you do these different things, you know, you get all these different things going on.
Sure.
But when they finally get you to the field and you're on Dallas or you're on, you know, the Dolphins or
the Saints.
Even the Saints. But once you get there, the coach is going to ask, this is what he's going to say to you.
What's he going to say?
You're going to have to play ball. If you're mm-hmm. a kicker, you're going to have to kick the goal.
Yeah.
You know, if you are a quarterback, you're going to have to run some plays, successful plays. If you are a receiver, you're going to have to receive. In other words, you're going to have to play the game. But what's being taught right now in our country is we can not only get you to the field and you can not only enjoy the stardom of being an NFL player like you want, but we'll even play the game for you when you're there. We'll give you the stardom. We'll give you the place. You know, we'll let you have all this stuff, but you'll never have to run the ball. You won't have to kick a field goal. You won't have to run a good play. You won't have to actually catch the ball when the quarterback throws it to you.
You can voyeuristically be there,
right.
And we can say you participated and you get a ribbon, yeah. But it's completely different.
Well, the thing about socialism is it promises you this lie. But it doesn't work.
No.
I mean, if it works.
Well, somebody has to pay for it. That's the whole thing. People say, you know, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you all this health care and all these other programs. That has to come from somewhere. Somebody has to pay for it.
Well, Margaret Thatcher, remember, she said, this is what she said. She was the prime minister of Great Britain or England. And she said, you know, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. Yeah.
Or those people with money actually move and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
We always forget.
But the end of it, you run out of money.
Of course.
So at some point, it's like, I think you're going to have to throw the ball and catch it if you want to be on the team.
For yourself.
And they called us. Some of the former people historically look at Germany and said that communism, socialism, is the ultimate temptation for a man's flesh.
Sure.
Because it's promising. I mean, who doesn't want to get everything
for
nothing?
Give me everything and I do nothing. Sure.
You know, so many people that are you know, caught in with themselves, when they see a player on the NFL or the NBA or a sports figure, and you think they're admiring this person, a lot of times they're envying that person. They want to be the one walking on the field where everybody's screaming their name.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can do that if you can play ball.
Right.
But you got to be able to play ball.
Put in the practice, put in the time, put in the effort, and you have a chance too.
So when we actually help folks out and say, listen, we want to teach you how to play ball, they go like, psh, socialism, I don't want to learn how to play ball.
I just want the check and the accolades.
Yeah, I'm just going to be in my room with a camera on my own channel talking to people, and somehow I'm going to get money. It's just going to come into my house somehow. Yeah. And it just doesn't work like that. And so the ultimate thing is America gives you a chance and puts you on the field. America has great opportunities for anybody who wants to take care of those, wants those opportunities. But what you have to do, and this is people coming into our country understand this, people coming from another country that want the American dream understand this, but listen, they go, okay, kick the ball. It's got to go between the goals. Yeah. You know, I'm going to throw you a pass, run out and catch a pass. And I saw recently where this one kicker kicked a field goal and missed
in
the NFL. He missed, I think, twice or three times, and he wasn't on the Saints. And the next time they played, John.
Yep.
The next time they played, he wasn't there. They fired him.
No.
Yes. That's the American system.
Yeah.
So the thing is that America gives us a chance to play. And if I understand this, if I understand that's how America works and that's how God's designed us to be able to work the labor of our hands, then I could start, like, I don't know, exercising, practicing with the ball, you know, get on some smaller teams, figure out how to play the ball. And when I get to that moment in time, I'm not going to be upset that you asked me to run the ball or to catch. I'm waiting for you to ask me so I can show off my talents that I can do this.
It's called pay for performance and a meritocracy. Yeah. And why would anyone not want that? You know, right. Everyone has an equal playing field. Go out there, do your best, and you're responsible for your own future.
And I'm saying that because we're 1% away from people saying in Florida that we actually want to be the player, yes, but we don't want to do anything for
it
that.
It came close.
1%.
It came close.
Well, they didn't know. It was like one of the last races called. And so I want to encourage you right now, understand that and we got to go break here, but listen, yes, it does sound wonderful that you can just sleep all day and a check shows up in the mail. And you can go, you know, buy your games and your whatever that you do and your chips and food, whatever you do. But it doesn't work. It only works for a point to get you to a place, a country to a place where they go, listen, we got to enslave you at some point and force you some labor to produce something out of you. And it's happened over. It's never worked ever. Even when they founded America in Jamestown, they realized, we're going to have to actually
Someone's
do this thing right. Yeah, and it actually came in,
you
know, later on at Plymouth Rock. And so people have been sold a bill of lies that it just the American dream is something that's given to you. But what's given to us in America and what God gives us is an opportunity.
That's it.
You know, an opportunity to succeed and an opportunity, you know, for happiness. But you just can't be guaranteed outcomes, you know. And so I want to encourage you, we're about this break, we're going to talk more about these elections that are going on. That 1% says we don't need to sit back on our laurels. We got to say, this was serious. We got to begin to educate.
Very serious.
And that's one reason why we do what we do at VFNKB. It's all about, you know, educating these different mountains of culture, you know. And this is the government mountain. We have to get educated again about government. As a matter of fact, due process, we're going to talk about when we get back from this break, which is actually the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. That was under assault with this whole thing. We're going to talk about the Kavanaugh hearings and how that impacted the elections, but join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
In 1943 America, Dennis Day was singing I'll Be Home for Christmas.
In Germany, 800 prisoners of the Third Reich were awaiting trial in a military prison. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was among them, hoping to be released by Christmas. That didn't happen.
In December 1943, Bonhoeffer wrote a Christmas letter from his prison cell. He wrote that it could be easy to despair, but that this Christmas would be more meaningful to those in such a lonely and desolate place. He wrote that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. A prisoner grasps this better than others.
After being moved from one prison and concentration camp to another, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in April 1945.
Engage with the Bible and words of hope in perilous times.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Due process. What is due process? We're going to talk about it in just a moment. It's actually the Constitution is what was challenged at the Kavanaugh hearings and actually everywhere right now.
Yeah.
You know, but let's first talk about another particular race that happened that was real close.
Yes, Florida governor's
also in the race. State of Florida. It was the Florida, well, not Florida governors, but the Senate.
Oh, Senate, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Senate. What happened in the Senate?
Talk to us about Senate. Rick Scott, former Governor Rick Scott, mm-hmm. actually won the Senate race against his opponent, Bill Nelson, and really promising for the state of Florida. Rick Scott has had a wonderful tenure as a governor, really responsible for a lot of job growth and all the things. Went to Israel.
Well, I remember when, you know, Rick Scott, and he wasn't governor yet, and he came to our city, and we were praying about, you know, who's what, what's
sure.
And I talked to Rick, and I said, you know, how do you stand on this? How do you stand on that? And one was, how do you stand on life?
Yeah.
And he says, at first he said, because there were a whole bunch of us there, he says, it's on the website. I said, no, I want to know. I want to know, right? And so he told me, he says, I'm for life. If you put a bill on my desk that says pro-life, for life, I will actually approve it. And I'm like, man, that's great. And so then a bill did come to his desk. Not every bill that could have been written that wasn't written by Florida should have been. But one bill was called Baby Born Alive Bill.
That's right.
Which was if a doctor's basically ending the life of a baby in the womb and they're forcing that baby to be delivered before it's time to abort it, but they aborted the abortion, they messed, and all of a sudden they didn't kill the baby all the way and the baby actually comes out alive. They used to just allow the baby reportedly just to die. Mm. And it's like, not Rick Scott. He says, this is what he did. Governor Scott, when he was governor, now he's senator of Florida. He said, no, we weren't going to have that. So they presented a bill. He signed it. It's called the Baby Born Alive Bill, which means the moment that baby comes out of the mother, it's a citizen of America. It's protected by the Constitution, has all the constitutional rights. And if you take the life of that baby, like Dr. Gosnell was doing and many doctors reportedly are doing, then you would be convicted of murder. So you have to, if you deliver that child and that child's alive, you got to call an ambulance, you got to bring them
rush to the hospital.
Which closed down a lot of abortion clinics because they weren't geographically close enough to a hospital to provide the care that you needed for that citizen that was born. This is a huge deal. And he would have signed other ones. And so this is the one you're talking about.
Absolutely.
That became now the senator. He's one of two people representing the state of Florida, Marco Rubio.
That's right.
And Rick Scott.
Yep.
And DeSantis.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness, and Marco Rubio.
So I was going to say. No,
go on, come on.
So he came to sign. So of all the places to go, he came to where our studios are located.
Yes.
Governor Scott did. I mean, if you go anywhere in Florida, it's huge. Yeah, you could fit England and a couple other countries in our state. And so he comes where we're located at to sign the Born Alive Bill and came there. And gave, I got a pen.
Yes.
Did you get a pen?
No, you got a pen.
I got a pen and the copy of the bill. And I looked at him first. I said, you did what you said you're going to do, which is unusual in politics.
Sure.
And I gave him a big hug. And he ran again. He made it. And it's like, these are precious people. Yeah. This is not somebody that needed a job.
No. Reports are he made $85 million from his company last year, of which he wasn't working at.
He made $85 million from his company that he was not working.
Yep, that's what I said.
Rick, we need some help. We need some help here. Teach us some wisdom like that.
He's helping.
Oh yeah, you are.
He's helping.
Man, you could help us out a little bit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Teach us. We need to learn those skills in the business mountains because a lot of people need it. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and job growth for the state. And one of the things that people said that they really liked about Rick Scott was how he handled the hurricanes, his working relationship with the president, and how he was able to call him repeatedly. You know, having that
demand,
saying we need funds, we need situations.
Yes.
It matters.
Oh, he was here when we had flooding in our area. Was Panama City had the 150-mile-an-hour Hurricane Michael that hit. We had the other Irma, I believe it was, coming up from Puerto Rico. But it was just, you know, Florida sticks out there as a peninsula into those waters and all. And he's just so, you know, everybody, you don't have to lead. When somebody with character, the compassion, his wife is the same, she's as sweet as she could be, and they really care about us, that it's such a gift. Some people are running because they want power.
Sure.
And he already had that.
He had that too.
And for some reason, you can run for office, have a low-paying job, but yet somehow you make money in
office. I don't know,
but I know this. Well,
your relatives make out really well too.
Yeah, we can't bring up Max. Anyway, so you know, you might not know Rick Scott, but I can tell you from what we know about his character and his what he's done, the jobs and everything. When America was crashing, he was driving business into Florida. And then, you know, when Trump came in, it just took us to the whole next level.
Even the region that our studios is located had a major, major company that transitioned into this state. And it's huge.
Well, it's one of United Postal Service, UPS, is a company that works with them that does their international hub.
I was actually talking about Navy Federal.
Oh, wow.
That was Rick Scott who made that happen.
Thousands and thousands of changed the economy. I mean, if anybody, I tell you, it was a big gratitude to Governor Scott when he was governor and now he's senator, is Pensacola, Florida. I mean, all the way from to the airports went to a whole new level.
Absolutely.
The industry, the commercial industry, Navy Federal Credit Union, just.
It matters. It matters who you put in office.
Well, he was a businessman. It still is. And we're finding out people that actually have skills.
Real life practical
budgetary
skills,
practical skills,
leadership skills.
Why not put somebody in office that does that, you know, and stands for
prove
truth?
Record, absolutely.
And he's not rude, he's not hateful, but he's diligent and he's definite. And he says, you know, I did not give in to the Tallahassee bureaucracy when I was governor. And now that I'm going to D.C., Washington, D.C., I'm not going to tolerate that. And I'm going to help drain the swamp.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, another person that's going to help him in Washington, D.C. is Senator Ted Cruz. It was another big contested election in the state of Texas.
How much money did the outside of the state of Texas?
Reportedly, $100 million was invested into this
into
race.
O'Rourke.
O'Rourke, right, to try to take
His name doesn't sound Hispanic. Why are they saying he was Hispanic?
I have no idea.
He's not Hispanic.
No, O'Rourke.
O'Rourke. But they were calling him Beto in regards to a nickname, but that's not actually, he's not Hispanic.
I don't know. I can't explain that one right there for you.
So,
Cruz is actual Hispanic.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Although he doesn't sound, he's got a different tone.
By the way, back to Florida. Latin American woman to hold lieutenant governor position in the state of Florida.
Yes.
That happened. That was significant.
Say that again so we can hear it again.
Nunez, I believe it's Jeanette Nunez, is the first Latin American woman to have to be the lieutenant governor in the state of Florida.
Or there was Hispanic American.
Yes, Hispanic American.
Yes. And does that not include what happened in New York? We can't talk about New York. What happened?
No.
But she's Hispanic.
Yes, in the state of Florida.
Oh, the state of Florida.
In the state of Florida. In the state of Florida.
Because then she's 16. She's
29.
29. In Florida, New York.
Yes.
Okay, but we're talking. Socialist, we're talking about
proud socialist, but
yes.
But back to Texas.
Texas.
Back to the great state of Texas.
If you haven't if you haven't gone to Texas yet.
Oh my goodness.
It's an amazing. I mean, it's hot.
Yeah.
But if you have air conditioning. Yeah. And there's a tree. I saw a tree. It was very nice. There was a tree there. Remember the tree? No, it's just beautiful in regards to there. They have a state flag. They have a American flag. The students have to know the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And they have to know the state flag, state flower, state song.
It's a successfully ran state. Thank you to Rick Perry, actually the governor of
Greg Abbott.
He won re-election again.
He's an amazing man.
Oh goodness. These are amazing people that are doing amazing things.
He cares too.
1,000 people a day are moving to Texas. There's a reason they're moving to Texas.
And that could be an issue why they're trying, the voting, it's like, you know, if you like what you're seeing, you like what you're seeing, and you code to it, and you don't like where you are, don't change where you're going. Adapt to what's going on.
No. I think a lot of these people love what's happening in the state of Texas. I know people in New Jersey that have said, they're leaving Jersey and they're coming down to the South because it's more in line with their values.
Which is a big deal.
But things are booming in Texas.
But California is coming into Texas and they said they're changing the whole. That's why.
Well, don't change it.
But think about this.
Come and be a part
of it. How close did this O'Rourke, which is an admitted socialist, no borders, come to in the polls in regards to it? Where did that vote come? I meant Texas. I mean, if you know Texas.
Texas.
I mean, it's Texas.
Yeah.
And if Texas, which is prophetically, by the way, is a hub state for the nation.
Yeah. The hub state.
Yeah, where the Lone Star State goes determines quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it came really close. Like Florida came really close. 1% of choosing. And so it got a lot closer than $100 million was running against Ted Cruz.
Which is big. And Ted Cruz, I mean, he's a strong constitutionalist. At least, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I want to hold him to what's written on the paper.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, with Ted Cruz, that's what you can do. You can hold someone who says, I believe in this Constitution. I think he's a great
Due process, I want you to put up the Sixth Amendment. The due process is what's been challenged lately with Judge Kavanaugh and all that. And the due process is actually your constitutional right if you're in America. And it's the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution in the Bill of Rights that says, as a matter of fact, let's read it to you first. John, can you read? This is the Sixth Amendment.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial, but by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law.
And
to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him or her, to have a compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense.
And we only have like 1 minute left, when the Supreme Court Justice, Judge Kavanaugh, situation took place, a man that, you know, his character is just above reproach, and that, you know, has been prepared for years by his mother, you know, as a judge. And now, you know, you're looking at, of all the people to come and assault the Sixth Amendment violation to one who's going to be the judge. And if anybody knows about the Sixth Amendment, the judge does. And it's like,
well, that was a bad move.
And what America started saying is, you really messed up here.
That's right.
And that's what shifted.
Yep.
You know, which could have been totally a different outcome.
Absolutely. Reportedly, every senator that voted against Justice Kavanaugh was replaced.
Except for one.
Well, he voted for.
Right. He voted for him.
The Democrat that voted for
Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
West Virginia, he made it. That's a telling sign.
And it's just, I know we're about to close here, but it just gives me hope for America that we do care.
Yes.
And due process. It was bad what happened visually. It was bad what happened to try to ruin this man and have his girls be crying as they're attacking him because they wanted to be able to abort their children. Mm. Yeah, that was the biggest thing, is that they're scared. And it hasn't changed. Abortion hasn't been illegal yet. But it's a Sixth Amendment right. It's your amendment right, that if you get accused of something, they have an obligation. You are innocent until proven guilty is what this means. And they have to bring, and you can bring witnesses that defends that reality. And they have to actually, in front of you, bring their witnesses. And the witnesses they brought, for example, in that were not legitimate. So in regards to America saw that and said that wasn't right. Oh, listen, we want to hear from you. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. Maybe you want to talk about elections that took place in your country, in your state, wherever you're at. We love hearing from you. Pray for America. We're in a transition point right now, but I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I just thank you, God, for our audience. Lord, I speak a blessing over them, God, right now. Encourage them, Lord God. Help them to move out of the political sphere and move into your kingdom, God. I pray for encouragement. I pray for inspiration. God, I pray for unity. God, pray for education about what you've called America to be, our constitutional Judeo-Christian foundation. Lord, let it be established again on you, Father God. And I pray, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.